go. We're all ready to go, my dear.
Hello, everyone. It's another Thursday night, and we haven't got Gum with us today, so we're just a duo tonight. Gum's delayed at work, so she couldn't make it back on time. But we are sending her our love and our prayers, and we hope she has a wonderful end to the day. But it's Giselle and myself, Sidoni. And we were just saying before we came on air how we haven't had one of our little natters for a while and one of our little chats. So we're very much looking forward to this. It's completely unplanned. So we are going to pray that the Holy Spirit leads our conversation and leads our thoughts and our words, and that they are a blessing to someone. We were just thinking, or certainly I was thinking about how the world just seemed so embittered at the moment. And there's just so much conflict. And even within the church, it just feels sometimes like there's so much conflict and resentment and unforgiveness. And there's a lot going on. But Jesus says that by our love, people will know that we are his. And thinking back to the story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan, when the scribe asks Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus then proceeds to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. Tonight, Giselle and I were just thinking about it, and we thought it'd be a really good idea to just have a little bit of an exchange as to some of the practical ways that in the world where we live today, where there's so much political correctness and so much, it feels like everyone's got an agenda, and there's just so much undertone and undercurrent to a lot of issues, social, religious, political, and otherwise. We were just thinking it'd be helpful to just sort of bash about what it looks like to love your neighbor. What it looks like. So we're almost kind of putting that question there to say, as a Christian in today's society, today's culture, what does it look like to love your neighbor? And we would really, 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 really love to hear from you, actually. If perhaps you hear something here that you think, oh, I'm not quite sure how to do that, or you think, oh, you ladies have missed this, or this is what I do, and please get in touch with us either via the Facebook group or by email. All the contact details will be in the bio and the link. We'd really love to hear from you as to what you think loving your neighbor in today's society and culture looks like to you, because this is by no means prescriptive or even descriptive. It's very limited and it's really just our perspective. So, if we leave anything out, forgive us. If we perhaps put something and you think, oh, that doesn't sound quite right, again, we beg your forgiveness and we very much look forward and stand corrected and look forward to hearing from you. So, but we just thought it would just to get us thinking a little bit as Christians. Loving your neighbor, what does that look like? Giselle, when you hear Jesus, one of, the second of the greatest commandments, you shall love your neighbor like as yourself. As a Christian, what does that, before we get to the practical application of it, what does that look like to you? When you hear that, what does that trigger in you?
To be able to pray for people that have hurt you.
Right, okay. That's a tall order. You went in real deep, real quick.
Oh, yeah, I go in for the jugular right away. But I have learned through experience that when someone has hurt you, you've truly forgiven them when you can pray for them, pray for their well-being.
Right.
Pray for their
Sincerely
salvation.
pray for them. Yeah.
Pray for them. And that is loving your neighbor. As I've often preached to people, love everybody. You don't have to like them. Because I people have said to me, oh, but I don't like this person. How can I love them? I'm not asking you to like them. I'm asking you to love them as your commanding
What's the
choice.
difference?
Well, liking someone, I don't like myself sometimes.
Right, okay.
Okay? Because my attitude still sometimes can be a bit, yeah. But and then I think, oh no, Lord, I shouldn't be like that. But I'm human. I get tired. If I'm running about all over the place and everything, I get tired, I get crotchety and things. I don't like. And I've shared this before in a talk that we're doing a long time ago. At least I'm sure I've shared it. I have caught myself sometimes, maybe in the supermarket. I've been tired and I've been in a lot of pain and I've been out all day and I want to get home and I rush in to get something for dinner or something like that. And I see somebody at the end of the aisle that I was going to go down, and I think, I don't want to talk to that person now. And I've turned the six winds and went the other way. Now, I've stopped doing that because, yes, the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. Because that person could very well have needed really to speak just a quick hello. And loads of times they'd have been in a rush too, and they wouldn't have wanted to stop and talk. So, when I used to do things like that, I didn't like myself at times. But liking someone and loving them as a Christian, as you should, as you're commanded to, it's there are two. They're poles apart. You're, you what when you're taught in the scriptures to love your neighbor as yourself, if you're wanting good for yourself, then why shouldn't you want the good, the best for your neighbor, even those that have hurt you? If you want a nice summer holiday, why wouldn't you want people all over the world to be able to have a nice holiday? If you want a nice new winter coat, why wouldn't you wish for everybody all over the world to be able to get a new winter coat? I can't afford a winter coat every year. I'm still wearing the same one I got, I think, like 7 years ago. But it still does the job. But loving your neighbor is to pray for someone.
That's so interesting that you say that, because just hearing you speak about it like that, I kind of, it brings home to me that idea of wanting the best for someone else, because that's what you want for yourself. And to summarize it, so you don't necessarily say, like, it's a feeling, isn't it? And feelings are very fleeting and very temporary, and quite often they depend on circumstances. So if you're feeling like you like somebody, then you could very much feel like you dislike them in a month or 2 weeks or 10 years.
Very
So it
much so.
does, yeah. So this feeling of liking somebody. But that's interesting, because I've always, certainly in the last few years, the idea of love as a verb has sort of, well, I say has, it still continues to speak to me. So, love is not a feeling, it's a verb. So it's something that you do, and like you say, you pray for someone and you do right by them out of a sense of love, out of that duty, and it to obey the commands to love somebody as you love yourself, even though you might not feel like it, because quite often we don't necessarily feel like loving people. But our obedience to that command should not depend on our feelings. Having said that, though, that doesn't mean you should, you'd love everybody, but that doesn't mean you will like everybody. This is not a command to like everybody and go around huggy huggy, kissy kissy, everybody, holding hands together. So I think, yeah, let's not
And you
get
see,
that.
you really touched on it there as well. You said to love as you love yourself. Too many people, especially Christians, don't love themselves. And I don't mean that you have to go about sort of, oh, I think I'm absolutely brilliant, I'm absolutely gorgeous. No. No, 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 no. Not that type of love. We have to. How can we expect other people to love us if we don't love ourselves? How can we expect other people to love us if we don't set standards? Right. So got to love yourself. You've got to like
That's
yourself.
actually a conversation for another day. Actually, we might get talking about that. How do you love yourself as a Christian? How do you, what
Okay,
does self-love mean?
shall I put that in the list?
Yes, because sometimes often, the world and the coaches and the therapists and the counselors and social media, you get all these snippets and telling you what self-love means. But from a biblical point of view, what does it mean to love yourself? And I think that's certainly one we will explore in another session.
Okay.
But for the
Interesting.
here and the now, yeah, sorry. For the here and the now, I'm thinking we're in a world that is so fast-paced, everyone's busy, everyone's pushing around, everyone's doing something or busy doing something. How can you practically show your neighbor that you love them? I mean, obviously, going by Jesus's definition of neighbor, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's not who you expect it to be. It's everybody and anybody. Sometimes even the unexpected, or sometimes even the people you quote unquote consider your enemy, that's your neighbor. So in a world where we can sometimes have polarizing, quite opposite views, quite opposite opinions, sometimes even consider people on the other side of the line, an enemy, quote unquote, and some conversations can get really heated, emotions get, fraught and high, tensions get high. How can we, as Christians, yes, I think you know where I'm going. How can we as Christians live out this command in those circumstances, in this culture that we're in, to love one another practically?
Okay, well, first and foremost, you said it there yourself. Everybody has opinions. And that's it. We all have opinions. And not everybody's going to agree 100%, but if somebody doesn't agree with you, don't get all hot and bothered about it and go off in a frenzy and, oh, I'm not going to be friends with you any longer. I'm never, ever going to talk to you again. Listen to them. Because you never know, you might learn something. They're not giving you their opinion to convert you to their way of thinking.
This is true.
They're giving you their opinion about this is what I believe, this is what I think, this is what I would like to see happen. And let's listen to everybody. That's when I know it's a sort of maybe going off on another tangent too, but that's
No.
where I totally dislike so many denominations within Christianity, because okay, I'm on my soapbox again. In Presbyterianism, you've got Presbyterian, Pre-Presbyterian, First Presbyterian, Reformed Presbyterian, Evangelical Presbyterian. You've got five of them, and not two of them agree with each other. Why do we need all this bickering? Why do we need all this difference? Listen to our brothers and sisters, listen to our neighbors. And we just might learn something. Because anybody who says, I believe anybody who throws their hands up, right, that's it. I don't want to listen. No, 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 no. You're speaking false. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're doing the other thing. What you're really saying is that you know it all. And believe you me, you don't know it all. You will not know everything until you're standing face to face with God in heaven.
Oh,
And
what a
that's how.
beautiful day that will be.
Oh, wouldn't it be absolutely gorgeous? You called home
Lovely.
or rapture happening. Then you will know it all. And until
But
then,
until then, you are not a know-it-all.
that's it. You're not a know-it-all. Every day is a learning process. And I tell you something, my ripe young age, I have learned an awful lot over the years from younger people. I really
And
have.
that's it, isn't it? That it's that idea and being like Christ. Christ, he was himself God. The Bible says he was himself God, did not consider equality with God, but came down and took on very sinful nature of man so that he may deliver us. Now, if Christ, who is God by very nature, did not consider that he was humble enough to come and take on our sinful form, then we've got no reason, no excuse to not be humble. We have got absolutely, like, you cannot be elevated. The Bible says, you know, Christ is elevated and his name is above every other name. You cannot be elevated more than Christ. That's nobody can, nobody ever will. Christ has been elevated to the highest position. So
definitely
no matter
not.
Your opinion of yourself, you're never going to be elevated over and above Christ. You're not that high. So how about you try to have the right opinion of yourself? And like you say, Giselle, then listen to other people and accept that you might be wrong. Or even if you're not wrong, there's room for you to learn things and improve. Because only when you understand and can appreciate someone else's perspective, only then can you truly begin to love them. That's what I think anyway. I think if I take the time out to listen to you and appreciate where you're coming from in a conversation, or what your beliefs are, or why they mean so much to you, only by listening can I begin to understand you and pray for you in the way that you need,
Exactly.
And in the way that is dear to you. Because when I'm sat here thinking, oh, I can't believe she has that opinion, that's complete wrong, complete nonsense, complete absolute falsehood, you know, oh, she just doesn't know what she's talking about. It's like, when we start having those opinions, we set ourselves on a pedestal. But then what that means is we put a divide between ourselves and others.
Exactly.
And there's no way to bridge that gap. When we come off our high horses and we say, do you know what? I don't know it all. I might not agree with you, but I'm happy to listen to you, because I really want to understand where you're coming from and why you hold such beliefs. And then I can either show you practically what the Bible says, or take you to scripture myself. And then it's up to you to either agree with me or disagree with me. But either way, we've had a mutual exchange, a seed has been planted, and I can walk away from there praying for you genuinely, because I'm not hurt and hot and bothered.
Yes.
I'm praying that God will do a wonderful work in your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
See you laughing there.
Well said. Well said. Now, just thinking that, just sort of, you, oh, I don't believe she said that. I can imagine you thinking that about me. Do you remember back in the early days when you didn't know what I was going to be saying next?
Yeah,
So,
I know.
Because I call a spade a spade. I think I was just too out there for you at times. You
Yeah.
Thought, I could see the expression
Oh
in your
my
face
God,
at times.
my goodness, this
Oh,
was
what's she
it.
going to say?
But you know what? Over the years, and we have been on such a journey together, and I'm so grateful to God for bringing us together. Because over the years, I have learned so much from you. And that's just because I have given you, well, I want to believe anyway, that I've given you the space to be yourself and to express your opinions with me and share your experiences with life. Because there's certain things that you say, and I'm like, that's because she's lived through culture, and she's seen what's worked, she's seen what hasn't worked, and so she's holding this opinion because of XYZ, and it stood the test of time.
Yeah.
But by doing so, I can genuinely love you for being Giselle, and I can genuinely lift you up in prayer and say, Heavenly Father, you know where my sister is, and I know that you know her, and I know that she can be a bit cranky sometimes, but she's the loveliest, sweetest soul.
Look,
But I can genuinely...
I've got an excuse to be cranky, or I've got a good reason. I'm old. That's it. I'm old and cranky. I have lived this right old age. I can say what I want and get away with it.
Well, yes, and get away with it. Well, not so much get away with it. But but I have learned through our friendship that I think it's beyond friendship now. It's actually a sisterhood we share. I have
it's
learned
beyond that even.
it
It
is.
We're
It
family.
is. We are. And that's a beautiful thing, when you can come along someone in life and walk with them. And before they even say something, you're like, I know you're not looking good today. I'll lift you up in prayer. Come back and share if and when you choose to. Those are the sorts of relationships that we should be having with each other. Now, you can't have that with every single person in your circle. You can't have that with every single person in your local church. But certainly, as human beings, we were made for connection. Connection with one another, and connection with God.
Yes.
And so when that connection is missing, you feel there's a hole when the connection's missing with the Almighty and or with each with fellow human beings, there's a hole there that nothing can quite fill. And so I digress, but going back to how we love each other practically, we've said about being humble and coming off your high horse and knowing that, you know, every day is a school day, as it were. But let's just read this from Colossians 3:12-14. I'm going to read it from the ESV version. It says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And those qualities there, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. You know, it just reminds me of Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind. It's not boast, it's not seek its own good. You know, that definition of love. You know, it's, but as Christians, if we can be compassionate and kind and humble and meek and patient and just bear with each other. Like, that's so much. I know this all seems very countercultural, by the way. Saying this out loud, I realize that these are not values that the world promotes. The world promotes selfishness and self-centeredness and big-headedness and pride and being right all the time and being impatient and not being able to bear with people. The world does not, you know, if you're meek, you're considered weak. The world doesn't promote, say, these qualities are actually countercultural. But I would like us to go back to what the Bible says. But another thing, actually, loving someone does not mean you don't tell them the truth because that's not what they want to hear. Loving someone is the opposite of that. It means telling them the truth.
Yes.
Because they need to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth will set them free. Mm-hmm. From the bondage of sin and the enemy and all other shackles that, you know, come with life this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. So if you love someone, you cannot see them doing something bad and keep quiet or lie to them. Okay, so loving someone means you have to tell them the truth. Telling someone the truth does not mean you get up on a high horse and you dish it out without compassion, without forbearance. You've got to speak the truth in love.
Yeah, big time.
Because, gee, how many fallouts have you seen in the church with this idea of, oh, I've got to tell you the truth, so, you know, I love you, so I'm going to tell you the truth, but then the truth just comes out and the truth then destroys, it doesn't build.
Too many. Some people use that phrase that I'm going to tell you this in love as a way to get one over on people. And that is totally wrong. That really is wrong. You've got to really think. It's in the scripture in we're reading from in Mark, Mark 12:30-31, about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Before you tell someone truth, stop and think that if you were told that the way you're going to say it to the person, if you were told it that way, would you accept it?
So
you've got to treat
that's
other people.
Test.
Yeah, you got to treat other people how you want to be treated. And if people are treating you like rubbish, how are you treating them? So you always, whatever you're going to say to people, stop and think, Is this what you would want to hear? Is this how you would want to receive it?
That's a really good test. Thank you for sharing that. That's a really good tip because sometimes we're so quick to speak
Yes.
that we don't actually bear with one another. You see, I am of the opinion that I always want to understand before I seek to be understood. I always want to understand other people. And so perhaps just by very nature, I am more quiet and reserved because I'm always looking to understand before I seek to be understood. Because if I don't understand you, my personal belief is if I don't understand you, I cannot communicate with you because I cannot deliver what I've got to deliver in a way that you can understand or you will receive it because I don't know how to deliver that because I don't really understand you. And that's got its pitfalls because it just means things just get processed for longer in my head. So that's not necessarily the best way to be.
But again, you said another key word there, to communicate with you. And that is the art of it. It's communicating with one another. It's not dictating your way. So you need to treat people how you want to be treated. You really do. And I think as well, a great way to show your neighbour, no matter if it's next door, across the street, or two or three towns away, or the other side of the world, is to share Jesus with them.
Yes. Yes.
He loves you. He died for everyone. Mm. But not everybody realizes that. So what a great way to let people know that you love them. Then sharing the gospel with them. Might receive it, they might not receive it, but hey ho. You've planted seeds. That's it.
But also, I think that the biggest evangelical tool that we have as Christians is the fact that we're Christians. Because that's the first thing that people see and people witness. I think that when people witness our lives, then they get pulled into learning more about the Bible and about Jesus himself. So you have always, as a Christian, got to think your life is your first and biggest evangelical tool. Now, is your life actually making people want to know about Jesus? Is your life spreading the gospel or hindering the gospel as a Christian? Because before anyone, an atheist or anyone who doesn't believe, before they pick up a Bible, they would have witnessed your life, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. There's got to be a pull towards you for them to accept the message that you bring. And the Holy Spirit works in all weird and wonderful ways. Sometimes you speak the Bible and lives are transformed. But sometimes those nearest and dearest to you will be transformed by witnessing how you live your life. And then they'll be like, you don't seem awfully bothered about a lot of the things that are going on in the world. Why is that then? Nothing seems to faze you. Or they might turn around and say, oh, I like the way, there's so much peace in your house and you're not throwing things at each other. The husband and the wife, the parents are all getting on with the children and the children respect the parents. And where's all that grounded in them? And then that opens up the opportunity to spread the gospel. There's so many aspects of our lives that preach the gospel without you actually speaking the words of the Bible to people. And so let's be aware of that, because that in itself is love. If I show you a better way to live by the way I'm living, that's me showing you the way of love, and that's me showing you the way of Christianity. So I think as a Christian, let's be mindful, because one of the biggest ways we can love our neighbours is by the way we live our lives, the way we speak to people around us, the way we minister to people around us, the way we give of ourselves, our time, our talents, our resources. That's a powerful act of daily love that you can give people. Because before anybody ever comes to you and hears the word Jesus, they would witness your life or your friendship,
Exactly.
or your tone of voice when you're cranky.
Exactly.
But
Exactly.
yeah.
And you, what you're actually saying there too reminds me of Sir Francis of Assisi, when two priests had left, were leaving the seminary, and he told them, go out and preach the gospel, and if you must, use words.
Yes.
That is powerful. That really is powerful.
Yes.
People disagree with me about that. Some people say, oh, well, you know, unless you know the Bible. Well, what Francis was saying was to trained priests leaving the priesthood. They had been trained in the Bible. They knew what they were doing. But yeah, and I love the old thing's been going about social medias for a couple of hundred years, that you very well might be the only Bible that somebody
Yes.
might ever read. So
Yes.
as you say, you're absolutely right, Sedona. It's how we act out our problems, how we,
Yes.
when we become born again believers, our problems don't disappear. We still have health problems, we still
Oh, for
have
sure.
financial problems, we still have relationship problems, we've still got all the same nonsense going on. Maybe more, in fact, because the enemy can sort of throw a lot more things at us. But it's how we handle it. It really is how we handle it. And when you know that God, and you're going to leave everything with God, that He is right, your problem, you sort it out. It really is how we handle it all. But you know, we can share love, you know, in loads of different ways. You know, walking down the street, if you smile at a stranger and say hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, that could be the make or break of that stranger. Maybe that stranger was just given some really bad news of a incurable disease. Maybe they lost their
Yes.
job. Maybe a family friend or somebody had just died or something like that. And maybe they could be on their way to commit suicide. And your smile and a few nice words could be the make or break for them. The checkout operators especially, people always think that, you know, oh, they were so rude to me, but how were you to them? They are they in work today when they should be home at bed, in bed sick, or they should be at home looking after a sick relative or something like that?
Yes.
We need to think about what other people are going through. The world doesn't
Yes.
revolve around us.
No, newsflash.
Oh, no. Yeah, Sidoni said, newsflash, breaking news.
Breaking
That's
news.
going to shock a lot of people, isn't it?
It is
They
just
thought the world revolved around them.
no.
But yeah, we really do have to start looking at people as how we want to be looked at. When was the last time? Now, I know we talked about it before Christmas and everything leading up to Christmas about dropping in on an elderly neighbour, even a young neighbour, that single mother or something like that. When was the last time really you did drop in on a neighbour just to say hey? When was the last time you mightn't have spoke to an old pal in a long time? When was the last time you just sent a text message, just hey, I'm thinking about you? When was the last time you did just send a text message saying, I enjoyed our talk last week or the last time we met up? You give somebody a compliment.
Yeah,
Give them some
it
words
goes a
of encouragement.
long way.
Exactly. A dear pastor friend of mine, Pastor Ahulf Stephen from Uganda, and he said one day, where he and I were talking, and he said one day, you, it takes six people to lift up a coffin, and it only takes one to lift you up in prayer and encouragement. That's, I thought that was very deep of him. I really do. And I've often thought about that we do when people die and we go to their funeral and everybody, oh, they were such a good person, you, and you have regrets then, you didn't go to see them and everything. Don't have regrets like that. Start treating people nicely. And then
Yes.
whatever happens, you'll have no regrets.
Yes, for sure. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in love. Do everything out of love. Galatians says 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Some people actually treat fellow Christians worse than they treat those out in the world. Can we please just look after each other as brother and sisters? Can I please just encourage you when you say you're born into the family of Christ? Like Giselle said, you don't have to like everybody, but love everyone. It's very countercultural. And as I say this, I just feel it, because it's everything that the world is telling you sort of to not be. The world says you've got to be right all the time. You've got to make sure that you are seen and heard, and you've got to be on the stage with the lights, and it's the me, 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 me show. And I've got an opinion. Everyone's got to listen to my opinion. But guess what? Not always.
No.
Silence is golden. God will not always use you to speak the truth. There are other people within the household of faith that will be used. Be happy and be content for somebody else to take the center of attention. It's not all about you. Love one another. Lift each other up in prayer. Like Giselle said, text somebody and say, how can I pray for you this week? They might come back and say nothing. But that's a bridge and an olive branch. And once you ask that 2, 3, 4 times, then they know they're not just the fleeting thoughts in your head. They know that you're actually intentional about praying for them. And so by the 10th time, when you ask them, because the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. So by the 10th or the 50th time, when you ask them, they might actually say, well, now you ask, I have got an ailing parent or a sibling that's not really come to faith, and I'd really appreciate prayer. Or I'm going through such and such a situation at home or at work or with the kids, and I'd really appreciate. And then they start opening up to you. But do not be weary in doing good. Doing good means praying for people, considering yourself humble, coming alongside people. I tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than doing life with a fellow Christian you call a brother or a sister. It's a wonderfully glorious thing. I mean, even when I look at the group, the social demographic is so varied. And when I go to church and I look out at the congregation of the church, my heart bursts with joy, because I know that the church and the body of Christ is possibly the only place where a king and a homeless person will bow before the throne of grace. That's the only place where someone who's earning a six-figure salary would sit and share a cup of tea and a biscuit with a homeless person that's coming from the street. And that, to me, is a sense of profound... I get so much joy from that. I know people probably be listening to this thinking, I observe the weirdest things and I think about the weirdest things, but for me, that gives me so much joy, because I know that God's kingdom, that's just a small reflection of what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's all nations, all creeds, all paychecks, all bank balances, all statuses, everybody coming together as one. I think the church is the only place where that happens, and the only place where you have the opportunity to love and be loved.
Exactly.
And if you find people to do life with within the body of Christ, if you can in your local church, wonderful, because you can do it physically. If you can't, find someone online. I tell you what, Giselle and I have known each other, what, 5 years now? We've never met in person.
No, we
at least
haven't.
5 years. We've never met in person. But
no,
I tell
we
you,
haven't.
This woman has done life with me. She's seen me through kids. She's seen me through heavens, changing jobs, praying for jobs, job interviews. Like, she's seen me through it all.
The group starting with a couple of people in it. I mean, literally a couple of people.
Yes, literally. That I am so proud and so blessed and privileged that I have a sister in Giselle and Goom and so many other women in my life. And I wish that for certainly every woman in the church. Because sometimes as women, we can be very guarded. We're very open emotionally. But we can also be very guarded. But I wish that every woman within the church will find her own little tribe that will lift her up, and she will lift up in prayer. And I wish for the older women, as in Titus, to teach the younger ones what it really feels like to be a woman of faith.
Yes.
And to pass on that Naomi-Ruth relationship where your God will be my God. Like, I my heart longs for that in the church. And we can only do that if we start with love. We can only get to that place where Ruth says to Naomi, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. We can only get to that place with each other if we start with love, if we start by being humble, by respecting each other, by seeking to understand before being understood, by practically living out the gospel so people witness Christ through our lives, by showing people what it means to be a Christian and to be saved and to live a life of love, not a life of plenty, not a life of material abundance, but a life of sincere gratitude and a life of love. Because you can only cast out envy and jealousy if you're grateful for what you have and you're content.
Exactly. Thank you, Sedona. And what do you tell you? I am absolutely blessed to know you, I've done life with you too, my dear.
Yeah.
Sedona and I are twins.
We are twinnies.
Twinnies, we really are twinnies. We are indeed.
Adventures.
We serve prison sentences together. Facebook prison. Oh my goodness me.
But yes, the Bible says, you know, in the Old Testament, it says, I wish above all things that you will prosper.
Yes.
Even if your soul prospers. Mm-hmm. Prosper is not a financial prosperity.
No.
As
it's
quite
not.
Often misused and misquoted.
No, it's not. It's spiritual.
It's a fullness of life. It's life and abundant life. And another dear sister of mine, we're speaking about what it means when Jesus says, I came so that you might have life and have it abundantly, and what abundant life means. And we talked about the fruits of the Spirit and about everything else. But as I grow older and I reflect, and I think abundant life is being able to do life with people and knowing that I'm not alone, whether I'm up in Stranraer or down here in Bedfordshire or in London.
Mm-hmm.
Or in Australia.
Yep.
I'm never alone.
Exactly. There's
I've got
always
Christ with
me
and sisters near me.
Yep. Exactly. That's what I say. We're just one great big family.
Mm.
And I can't remember who it was, but somebody posted in the group the other day that when we all get to heaven, do we realize that when we all get to heaven, there'll be no arguing? We're going to like everyone. There's none of this disliking.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Did you
So we
see
might as well
that?
start now. I saw that. Yeah, that
It
did
was
make me smile.
absolutely brilliant. And that's it on the get to heaven. You know,
Yeah. She
it's
did
good.
say that.
So
She was like, well, we might as well start now.
yeah, so you've got to start practicing it here in the earthly realm, folks. You know, you really have. So it's not going to be a great big shock to you when you get to
Right,
heaven.
your system
Yeah.
to
Oh.
realize it really wasn't all about you. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Most definitely.
Ah, thanks, G. It's been a lovely natter, as always.
It's been.
I've been blessed and encouraged and
Me too, my
thankful
dear.
and rejuvenated. And I hope you all are as well, as you've listened to us share
Yes.
our experience and a little of our perspective. But shall we pray before we say good night?
Yes, my dear, you go ahead and pray because I just love to hear you pray, my dear. I really do. No, seriously, you're so heartfelt. You are.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you because we are so limited in our ability to love one another. We're often so self-centered and so selfish. We're often so myopic. Lord, we come to you because you, God, are the God of love. You, God, are love. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to you that we may truly learn how to love one another. And this goes beyond liking, but how to truly wish for other people what we wish for ourselves and treat other people as we treat ourselves. Give us the grace to do this, Lord, for we know that on our own and of our own, this is not something we can do daily and sustain. We recognize the fact, Lord, that it is a grace and a special grace that can only be accorded by you through the help of your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would bestow this upon us. Help us to love one another, starting by being humble. Help us to be humble. Help us to always seek to understand before being understood. Help us to share the gospel with love and truths, with love and grace. Help us to be merciful to those who hurt us. Help us to extend grace as we have been shown. Help us, Lord, to love as you have loved us, and love because you loved us first. Let that example be one for us to build on. Because you said in your word, Lord, that whilst we were yet sinning, you died for us. Help us, Lord, to forgive people even before they ask for forgiveness. Because even before we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, you had died for us already. Help us, Lord, as we grow older in the church, to teach the younger ones coming after us what it means to be a lovely, loving, God-fearing sister in the church. Help us to learn from those who have gone before us what a shining example it is. Help us with women within the church, Lord, to have the Naomi and Ruth relationship where the younger women can honestly say to the older women, let your God be my God. Help us, Lord, to live a life that entices people to want to get to know you and the God we serve. Let us live a life of love because you said, Lord, that by our love, people will know that we are yours. Let our love be what drives people to you and to the cross so that they may experience that love for themselves, that unconditional love that is there for the taking. And all they have to do is accept it. Help us to love those around us, far and near. Help us to lift people up in prayer. Help us to be considerate and not to grow weary in doing good. Help us, Father or Lord, to love our neighbour and our quote unquote enemies, as in the story of the Good Samaritan. Help us to be a good Samaritan to our neighbours and our enemies alike. Help us to pray for those who persecute us. Help us to pray for those who have a bad word to say about us. Help us to pray for those we consider do not like us. Because you, Lord, have the power to change the hearts of kings and make them favor us. Help us, Lord, to come to you daily for strength and grace to be able to love one another. Help us to be countercultural and to show the society and the culture around us another way to live, a more fulfilling, more blessed way to live. That is full of joy and anchored in Christ, our hope, here and forever. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful, Sidonie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone on Facebook.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, go and get some sleep, everyone.
Yes.
And everyone on playback on Zoom and Spotify. As Sidonie said earlier, I hope you all got something from that tonight. The details will be in the description to contact us for a chat, a prayer, whatever. We're here for you. Good night, everyone.